God is good.
Good to see you this morning, yes. Again, did you come? You ready to receive from the Holy Spirit this morning?
Come with expectations.
Worship. Awesome. Yeah. Well, turn with us, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. We began sharing with you last week about the working of the Holy Spirit, specifically the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's called the infilling of the Holy Spirit, as it was on the day of Pentecost that we looked at last week in Acts chapter 2. We're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit and his works. And specifically, we want to spend a couple of weeks with last week, this week, and even next week, because there's so much to be able to help us understand. One message just doesn't do it. You're sort of just scratching the surface because there's some confusion about gifts in the Bible, especially even around gifts of speaking in other tongues. There's a public gift, and then there's the private prayer language, which we believe, according to Scripture, there's evidence in Scripture that it's potentially available for every believer after salvation.
Yes.
We talked about some of that last week. We showed you some of those Scriptures. It's not what we really believe. It's really believing what we see as evidence in Scripture.
Yes.
And Jesus said it was an endowment of power. The word in the Greek was dunamis, which means supernatural ability.
Yes.
And he told his disciples, you're going to wait to receive this power and then go out and be a witness for me. And we believe, according to the evidence in Scripture, that that
initial
gifting after salvation is potentially available to every believer. And again, tongues is not evidence of salvation,
right,
but it's a gift that we see in Scripture that is available after salvation. So we won't be able to review a lot of what we said last week because we have so much more to share with you this week and next week. So let's just pray before we get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you opened the way for us, Jesus. You're the door. You're the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
And no one comes to the Father except through you. And you've given us your Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us, to be our teacher and guide through all the affairs of our life, to show us things to come and to help us to be overcomers in this life.
Yes.
And so I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to open up our eyes. You're the revealer of truth. Open our eyes this morning. Give us ears to hear. Help us, Lord, to put aside old thinking that we may have had, our own thinking, and help us to think your thoughts and take on your ways, Lord, and then we could live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit as you've desired and designed us to do.
Yes.
And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to start reading. If you're in Acts chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 to 4 first. And it says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. There's 120 that were in the upper room. They were all of one mind and heart waiting for what Jesus said would come, wait for the gift that the Father would send. And it said, verse 2, suddenly, like a sound, like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting.
Mm.
Verse 3, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them, not some, but all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
This was an event that was loud enough to draw the city to come to where the disciples were. Everybody started gathering around. It's a violent rushing wind.
Filling the house.
Yeah.
I mean, what must that have been like? The atmosphere in this room was charged with the Holy Spirit this morning in worship.
Yes. For sure.
And I can only imagine on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit, like the wind of God, came blowing in there. It's almost like the roof of the house would have been blown off. And it's no wonder it said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how anything else could have happened. It should be like he penetrated everything. And especially wanted, of course, them to be filled with his Spirit.
He wanted them to be endued with power so that they could be a witness. And just those 120, just think of what happened. It turned the whole world upside down. And now we are benefits of their boldness, which came on the day of Pentecost, because Jesus says it'll empower you to be a witness. And everybody's standing around, Peter and the disciples and the women, they all come out, and Peter's looking at the crowd, and he's trying to explain what's happening. He says, this is actually, you're in the middle of a prophecy being fulfilled.
Yeah.
That's an amazing thought.
Yeah.
You're in the middle of a prophecy being fulfilled. Lord, we want our eyes to be open.
Yeah.
We don't want to be on the side and think it's nothing. We want to be right in the middle.
Yeah. And we actually, as we read these verses coming up, we are in the middle. We are, because this is still going on.
Verse 16. We'll turn to there. Verse 16, and it's actually Peter's explaining to them. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel in the what? Last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show signs and wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, fire, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and the great glorious day of the Lord. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Praise God. Praise God.
We're in the middle of it.
We're in the last days. If they were in the last days 2,000 or so years ago, where are we on that divine time clock? Is really what it. This is when the church age started. God deals with mankind in dispensations, and this is the church age or the age of grace. It's both the same. This is where God has freely poured his because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because it was a perfect sacrifice, and God accepted it. The sacrifice didn't just cover sins like it did in the Old Testament when they slaughtered a lamb, but this removed sins for all who would call upon the name of the Lord. This is a remarkable thing, and it was a sign that declared that the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, a covenant, the law and everything was fulfilled. And Jesus himself says, it's finished. It's finished. And when will the church age be finished? The church age will be finished when the rapture occurs. The rapture is for all who believe in the name of Jesus, that are walking with him. That'll be a moment, the Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye. Just close and open your eyes as fast. That's how fast this rapture is going to happen. And he'll draw his church out from the earth. And then we're going to be 7 years of difficulty, great difficulty. You don't want to miss the rapture. And you really don't, because you read Revelations, you're going to find out how nasty it gets. But at the end of the Great Tribulation, which is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, Jesus is going to put a stop to it all. And he's going to come back to this earth, and he's going to set up a millennial kingdom. And that's a kingdom where he will rule physically from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And then once again, there'll be a test on all human again. But now you don't want to miss the rapture, because you think you have things difficult now. It's going to be, Jesus himself said, there's going to be trouble like it's never been in the history of mankind. So what we want to do is follow what God has got to say, and follow the Holy Spirit, because he's the teacher of the church. He wants to guide you into all things. He will guide us into all truth. Which means what? He's going to point you to Jesus in a greater way.
Yeah.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But it's the Holy Spirit that we have to be in tune with, have our ears, our spiritual ears in tune with, and just have our heart pliable to allow God to do what he needs to do. You know, there's a lot of talk about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, isn't there?
Yeah, but actually, the Holy Spirit is mentioned right on the very first page of your Bible.
Yes.
Go there in Genesis. Just quickly go back, you know, to the very beginning of the Bible. Genesis 1, first chapter, verse 2.
You say go back to the beginning?
Oh.
Who's right? Come on now.
Back to the beginning. Well, yeah, that makes sense. The front of the back.
Yes.
Of the we know where Genesis is. That's the easiest book to find, right? It's right in the front. Second verse of the first chapter, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths."
Mm.
And who was there? The Spirit of God.
Yes.
Was hovering over the surface of the waters. Notice it says, who is hovering over the surface of the waters?
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God. And that could be translated the wind of God or the breath of God, because
yes.
Spirit in Hebrew is the word ruach, and it means
right.
breath or wind. So here we have the, we just sang it. The Spirit was moving over the water, right? That's the Holy Spirit. Moving over the darkness, it said, over the waters, and this powerful breath or wind of God.
Yeah.
Moving over. And when God spoke, he released his breath. He released the power of his Spirit. When he said, "Let there be light," I can only imagine, you know, we talk about the Big Bang. Like, what happened in the universe at that point?
It was created.
When he spoke, when his breath came out, the wind of God brought, you know, light into the darkness,
sweet.
For certainly.
Glory.
And I think about this in terms of the what happened on the day of Pentecost, because we could read the Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, and we just tend to think, we don't think.
Right.
But this is like a small contained measure of what happened when the Spirit was moving over the darkness.
Yes.
In creation was going to happen. So whatever happened in the universe to separate the light, darkness, and bring light to scatter the darkness, it's the same breath.
Yes.
That came.
Yes.
And it's the same Spirit. When we say move upon us, rest upon us, we're asking for that kind of power to mm-hmm. rest upon us. And
yes.
So when you begin to read, like in the Genesis 2, it says God blew his breath into the nostrils of Adam, right?
Yes.
And he became a
living soul.
Being. Yeah. Filled with the life and empowered by the life of God, knowing the life of God. And really, that was God's original intention for mankind, for all of mankind to be
yes.
filled with his life, filled with his Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and enjoying constant communion with God. We were created to be sons and daughters of God.
Can I hear an amen?
In God's family.
Yeah.
So when we're born of his Spirit, this is what God is Spirit. So you begin to, you have to think in these spiritual terms, really. But Adam and Eve, of course, we know when they sinned, they lost that life from God. They lost the empowerment of the Spirit of God when they sinned against God in the garden. And then what happened? All of mankind became separated. Our spirits, if you will, are darkened. Because we've read that before in Ephesians 2. We were all under the prince of the power of the air. This is why when we're born again, now we receive the life of God back on the inside of us.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you start to understand the whole story, you go, oh, this isn't some just little breath or life that's come into me.
Right.
We're talking the third person of the Trinity, the very third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And people being separated from the life of God and the Spirit of God, when you are separated from him, you lose your way. Take a look at the earth.
Yeah.
Just take a look at the earth and you could see the effects of what happens when people lose their way. They don't walk in the light of the
yeah.
Spirit. They walk in darkness. and you see what happens. And so this is why we can preach the good news, and we should all be going, yeah.
Sweet.
But after that, after the separation is you from the life of God, when you read the Old Testament, you see how the Spirit of God was not on the inside of people, but he would come upon people.
Right, he would come upon people in the Old Testament. You read mostly it would be the prophet, the king, and the priests. And again, the Spirit of God would come upon them. They were the ones who would be able to hear from God. They would be able, and the idea behind it was to help direct the people into a godly way of life. It not just the people, but a nation. And it would also empower them to do works of God, signs and wonders. You see throughout the Old Testament, the power of God on display. And it was, you know, take a look at Moses, you take a look at David, you look at the prophets of old, Ezekiel, Samuel. I loved what it says about Samuel. It says, not a word that was spoken by him fell to the ground. That's pretty amazing. I have a lot of words that I hope fall to the ground. And there's a lot of words that you just hope that never come true. Amen. Yeah, for sure. But it's important for us to understand the old covenant. The Spirit of God did not abide in anyone. He came upon someone. The power and the very presence of God was in the temple. And in the temple, it was designed, if you could Google it and take a look at how it's laid out and everything, it's really good to see. Because there was an outer court and an inner court, and then there was a holy place, and then it was the Holy of Holies. And that's where the presence of God was kept up in the Ark of the Covenant.
Closed off.
And the only one that could actually approach that was the high priest. And that high priest had to make a sacrifice for his own sin before he went in. And again, the Old Testament is just covering your sin. Yeah. It wasn't taking it away.
And he could only do that once a year.
That's correct. One time a year. And you know, if you look at the history of that, they'll describe to you that they actually tied a rope around the ankle of the high priest. They tied a rope around them because they weren't allowed to go there. And if this high priest was a hypocrite, he'd fall dead in there. Yeah. So they'd just pull him out. And boy, that would put the fear of God in you, amen?
Yeah, right.
Oh my gosh. But there was a separation from the holy place to the Holy of Holies, and it was this big curtain. This was pretty amazing, this curtain, because it was kept the presence of God shut up. I don't mean shut up and quiet, but I mean away from people like us. This curtain was 60 feet tall. That top right there is 22 feet. So three times that. And it was 30 feet wide. The remarkable part was it's 4 inches thick. 4 inches thick. I don't know how they got it up there, but they did. When Jesus uttered, "It is finished," this is remarkable, because this is where we come in a sense. God himself tore the curtain from the top to the bottom, signifying that I'm making the effort to move out. I'm calling people. And it's not like from the bottom up, which would have indicated, well, I think I'm good enough to be in with God. I do all these works. It's like man's attempt to reach God. It never works. That's why we can yield ourselves to God, because he loved us so much. He made the attempt to reach us. He initiated it all up. And Jesus was making a new and living way for all of us.
Yeah.
New and living way. Yeah. It's not ritual. It's not tradition. in the garden, it says that Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the evening. See, this is the relationship that he wants us to keep. But when we yield ourselves to Christ and we ask him to forgive us, and we yield him as his, we give our lives, I guess it would be a better way to say when we surrender ourselves to him and we ask him to forgive us and we invite him to come in. What happens now is that very presence of God comes and dwells inside of us.
Yeah.
It's not like the Old Testament, it only came upon and then relieved. Jesus says he's never going to leave us, never forsake us. And he will find in when he's talking about the Spirit of God, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans.
Yeah.
I'll come to you and I'm going to stay with you. The Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of us. We need to awaken to the truth of that. Because
yeah.
It's far greater than what we're experiencing yeah. right now. Amen?
Yeah.
But don't you want more? Don't you want more?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wish you could just clean this out, Lord, and just fill it with everything that you need.
So you and I, verse 1 Corinthians 3:16,
there
I would encourage you to just go there in your Bible, even though it's up on the screen.
Highlighted if it's not in your Bible.
Wonderful scripture to have highlighted, yeah. 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us that you and I now, under the new covenant, become the temple where God dwells. He's not closed off in the Holy of Holies.
Yeah,
that only a few people can hear from him and speak for him and know him. Because under the new covenant in the church age, we just read that. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you call upon him, like Pastor Steve was saying, for the forgiveness of our sin and turning away from the old life. And he said, yes, it's a gift. You'll be saved when you do that. So 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?
Mm.
So in the new birth, the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in your spirit.
Yes.
And your body now becomes like we're walking temples of God. It's pretty amazing. Which is why we do want to walk in a way worthy.
Amen.
Amen. Because, again, we are the Jesus people are going to see. We are the God people are going to see, if you will. And we have to, when we understand that he dwells in us, and that we are the temple, we have to remember that the makeup of our being, that we're three parts. You know, we have an outward part, our physical body.
Yeah.
We have a soul and a mind where we think, our intellect, our emotions, you know, we process things, our consciousness there. But we also have a spirit being.
Yeah,
because in Scripture it says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming day of the Lord.
Yes.
That the Holy Spirit will help that to happen. So the Scripture gives evidence that there's spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
All right. So you and I are three-part beings. And God is spirit. We know that by Scripture. So when you're born again, God doesn't come to dwell like in your physical body. He dwells in your spirit.
Yes.
That's where we've been recreated, in our spirit. That's the part that comes alive to God. And look at what Jesus said in John 6:63, another really good scripture to understand. See, our spirit is the eternal part of us.
Correct.
Everybody born in the earth is going to live forever after we breathe our last here in with our physical body, but we are eternal spirits. And of course there's only two places
right
in eternity, eternal life or eternal death, and only Jesus can give us access to eternal life. So understanding things of the spirit is pretty important. And Jesus says this in John 6:63. He says, it's the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all, or profits nothing, some translations will say. The words, he says, that I have spoken to you are what?
Spirit and life.
So now you can begin to understand why we say this is not just the book with a bunch of print in it, black right. and white. These words, when we receive them by faith, feed our spirit. They become spirit and life to us. And so we commune with God this way through the word of God. This is why we make this such an important part of what we say all the time, that we're going to learn to fellowship with God through the word of God. His word is spirit and life.
Yes.
And so as we fellowship more by reading the word, listening to the word, meditating on the word of God, renewing our mind with the word of God, the more our spirit on the inside becomes more sensitive to what the Spirit of God's saying. Does that make sense? Yeah. And we're then better able to follow the leading.
Right.
And the sensing of the Holy Spirit and following his leading in our lives. This is why people get way off track. They may be born of the Spirit one day, give their life to Christ, and then never read the Word of God.
Yikes.
And all you do then all the time is you just have all these other natural feelings, and you sort of attach them to who you think God is. You could be way off.
Yeah.
I've said that before. You could be sincere about what you believe, but you could still be sincerely wrong.
Yeah.
And so Jesus said the flesh, you know, he said the flesh is no help at all. The flesh profits nothing. What does he mean by that? Well, one of the things that he means is that way too many Christians are dominated by their flesh and natural feelings. Like, in other words, we're dominated by those old unrenewed thoughts and our thinking. Well, you can't do that. Well, you're not worthy of that.
Mm.
You know, you're not able to do that. Or else we say, I won't do that.
Yeah.
You know, or I can't forgive, or I'm always going to be sick, and I'm broken, and I'm afraid. And we have all these old thoughts that don't really line up.
Come on.
With the Lord saying, well, I've made you an overcomer in this life.
Amen.
So if I'm always all broken down in my thoughts, then I need to get them renewed with the spirit and life of who God says I am.
Sweet.
And let that dominate my soul.
Yes.
Because if you don't, if you just keep letting those old thought loops, and they are like ruts in your brain. Have you ever noticed? It's like, I can't stop thinking this way. Has anybody been like that? Had days like that where it's like, this is driving me crazy. Well, that's why it says the flesh profits nothing, because it just seems like it goes nowhere.
Yeah.
It drains the life out of you.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Come on.
And, you know, it'll eventually take your life down a bad path, even ruin your life,
mm-hmm.
unless you begin to say, no, that's not who I am.
Amen.
And you let God's word tell you who I am. We sang a song this morning. I am who you say I am. I hope you sang that song like you meant it.
Right.
These songs you could sing and the Holy Spirit will come and make it new in your mind. But if you stand there in a song like that and you just do nothing, well, that's what you'll get. So I would encourage you, like, as we sing these songs, sing them in faith.
Yes.
Whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Talking about
I'm
me.
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Like, we need to, like, feel like, yes, this is who I am. And get excited about it. Let some emotion flow through you. We can sometimes just be too naturally minded. Well, I don't know what people will think. Well, who cares what people, you know. God wants you to commune with him. In
yes.
And when we do, then we find out, whoa, that's why when people walk out, you feel like, I'm charged. I'm recharged, aren't
Come
you?
On.
That's because the life of God is flowing through your
that's
mind
right.
and your heart.
That's right.
So we have to remember, God said his words are spirit and life, and that's what they'll produce in you.
Yes.
They'll produce that in you and me when we let them sink down deep in our soul and we exchange them for those old thoughts.
That's good.
And we actually make an effort to declare the new thoughts. So you know, you have to speak truth over your life, over your body.
Yes.
That's, again, like it's almost like your breath coming out is the breath of God, because you're born of his spirit.
And you're quoting
his word. You're declaring,
yeah.
This, you know, this is who I am. So,
you know, the Bible does say, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
So if we just held on to our natural thoughts, man, we'd be a mess. And you'd be in a worse mess than you're in. But when we start to say, I am who he says I am, and we find those scriptures, we underline, we meditate on that, and we just are kind of, you could actually be flabbergasted that this is what God is calling you. He says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And man, if we think about our past, BC, before Christ, we're thinking, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. But it's the truth. It's an eternal truth. And when we start to agree with God, here comes the life of God to manifest and well up with inside of us. We start to think his thoughts. Yeah. Jesus told his disciples, hey, I'm going away. You just think about what that would have done. They've been with him for 3 years. What do you think they saw? Remarkable things. You know, they relied on, this is the Messiah. This is the Messiah. This is the King of Israel. He's going away. For 3 years, they got guidance from him. 3 years. I'm going away. You know, that just dropped fear all over them. Like, what? Wait a minute. They're thinking it because they knew Scripture. It says he's living forever. What do you mean you're going away? What? But Jesus had been teaching them all along that he was going to die and raise up the third day. But the key is, he says, I won't leave you as orphans. That's good news. Yeah. It's John 14, verse 16 and 17. This is so awesome. This is where you mark your Bible, you highlight it, you remind yourself. You know, when we first started off and understanding these incredible truths of God's Word, we would write these things down, and then we would go throughout the week and look at these things, reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ and what he's doing for us, how much he loves us. And again, putting down those old thoughts that you don't measure up. I mean, that's the biggest lie. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That word, another helper, that means one of the exact same kind. Do you know the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus? And you know, he's the helper. I like that, really. He's the helper. You know, I really needed help in my life. I mean, major help. And he was there to help me. You know, anybody else in here need help? Help. Yeah, sometimes that's the most powerful prayer you could pray. Help. It's delivered me out of a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. You know, people are searching for answers all over the place. They're, you know, who I am? Who am I? You know, I mean, that was a big thing for me growing up. Who am I? Oh, what am I here for? What is my purpose? You know, am I just a... But when we cry out to the Holy Spirit, who am I? He's going to direct you to the Word of God. He's going to help you discover who you are in Christ. He's going to help you find purpose, real purpose, God's ordained purpose for your life. Not just your purpose, you know, I'm going to be this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to bear down. And no, this is when you surrender and just say, help me. You know, some people are searching for answers, I mean, all over the place. They read their horoscope, they go to the psychic, they, you know, you all, my friend, call my friend, all the while, if you're born again, you have the answer, the Spirit of truth dwelling right in you. And then one of the questions you should say, or one of the prayers you should pray, make me sensitive to you, Holy Spirit, change me. I'm willing to change. I need you to guide my life. I need you to help me find truth. I need you to help me have strength. I need you to even pray.
And we do have to ask.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, we sometimes think we're waiting on God, but are you crying out to him? Are you talking to him? We could talk to the Holy Spirit 24/7 if he dwells on the inside
yes.
of you. Yes. No matter what time of the day. Are you asking him to show you truth?
Mm-hmm.
Because this truth word is a biggie. I'm my truth, your truth. Everybody has a truth. But there can only be truth.
Come on.
And if you feel like, why is the world so messed up? Well, are you asking? Ask the Spirit of Truth
mm-hmm.
for answers and wait on him. He will begin to reveal an understanding about the world and
so
life.
So true.
Oh, it's just amazing. He is a wonderful counselor.
Amen.
Wonderful counselor to you. The best counselor you could ever have. And, you know, some of you may be struggling with depression or loneliness, you know, this kind of orphan. Like Jesus said, I won't leave you as an orphan. But there's this orphan spirit, like I'm alone. Nobody, I don't have anybody. Even if you have people around you, you could still feel very alone. And, but do you realize you have the great and mighty Holy Spirit on the inside of you? He'll never leave you or forsake you.
Hallelujah.
And he will comfort you. If you talk to him in faith, God, Holy Spirit, help me. Well, you'll find help. He'll find a way to get you help.
Yep.
And it could be through another person, even in the body of Christ.
That's right.
Sometimes we think it's just going to fall on us alone. But, you know, it's amazing how sometimes you get a call and somebody's, how you doing? Can I pray for you? And you're just like, can you pray for me? Yes. Can you? How did you know that? Well, see, if we're sensitive, this is where sometimes God moves a person's name on your heart. You're doing whatever at home. And it's like, why am I thinking about this person all day? Well, maybe you should text or call and say, how's everything going?
Yeah.
You've just been on my heart. We cannot live so much in the natural and actually be so rushed about everything that we just, well, I don't know. I thought about them all day. I don't know why. Ask the Holy Spirit, why are they on my mind? Or what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And so we do have the comforter, the helper, the strengthener. He's all these words. The paraclete is written there. You know, I'm going to give you another comforter. The word is paraclete for comforter. But it does mean helper, advocate, strengthener, standby.
Yeah.
To be with you always.
Hallelujah.
And so he is our helper. And we need help. There's not a person in here to say, nah,
I'm good. You're also a liar.
Yeah. He said, if you would ask and seek and knock, see, this is part our part. It's not going to just happen because we're wandering around and we have to ask.
Yeah, let's turn there. It's not on the PowerPoint. Turn to Luke chapter 11. And this is highlighted in my Bible. You know, because when you highlight things in your Bible, you can find them quicker. You know, a lot of times I'm looking and I know that this is on the left-hand side and it's in the first column. So sometimes I just fly through it. There it is. Luke chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 9. I mean, again, he's a perfect gentleman. He won't force you to do anything. He's waiting for you to invite him. That's our problem. We go back with our natural thinking that, you know what, I'm going to just do this. That's it, I'm just doing this. Doesn't work. Let's start at verse 13.
No, actually, in our notes, it is
9.
It's written wrong.
This is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the disciples, but he's talking to you and I.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's talking to us right now. He said, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it'll be opened. I love this. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent?
Yeah.
Or if he asks for an egg, who's going to give him a scorpion? And he says, if you who are evil, like natural, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Yeah. Yeah.
that's ask, and you keep on asking. Your Bible probably says ask and keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking. Just because you get, hey, we were all kids at one time.
Ask and keep on asking. Well, ask and keep on asking. Right? Mom. Yeah.
Dad. Oh, he said no, but I'll go to Mom. Ask and keep on asking. It's not like we're wearing God down. He's looking to see how big is your want to. Mm-hmm. How big is your want to? Mm-hmm. Yes, I want to. So I'm going to ask and I'm going to keep on asking. You know, there's things that I've been praying for years. I'm still asking. And I'm not demanding. I'm saying, Lord, I think this will work out. I think this will be good. You know? And you know, it doesn't happen or something. Lord, I know I'm at your door. I'm knocking. Yeah. I'm knocking. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Yeah. You know, and it's the truth. You don't quit. The Holy Spirit, you know, he dwells within us. And like you said, he's our strengthener. Now, let's say it. We don't get the answer right then. But the Holy Spirit, the strengthener, he's going to say, keep going. Keep going. Keep asking. You know, the timing might be all wrong. You know, if you give up, well, then you give up. But if I keep asking, guess what? The Holy Spirit is helping me pray these things. And the Holy Spirit is my teacher. He's my guide. He's my helper. And I need help. He'll direct and guide my life. Yeah,
for wisdom, for everything.
For wisdom.
Everything that we need.
Yes.
And again, 24/7, we can talk to him. We should start our day.
Yes, I like that.
Speaking to him. Help me, Holy Spirit, today.
Yeah.
In the middle of the day, you know, you're... whatever, you have a dilemma at work or you're just dealing with things of life, school, mm-hmm. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Ask him. You're sitting in class. I don't get this. Well, help me. Give me wisdom, Holy Spirit. He's a teacher.
Yeah.
He will help us if we approach him in faith for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think often the first place people look, we have so much information. Like, you know, when we want under help or understanding, we're like on Dr. Google, we're like everywhere on the internet. Help me understand. We're on YouTube channels and chat rooms, and you got to be careful because sometimes, especially in the chat places, you know, you're talking to people that are just as lonely and mixed up as you are, and you're thinking, I'm going to get some help here. Maybe not.
Yeah.
We have to first learn to look to the Holy Spirit. Yes. Like, help me. Our spirit is really the most dominant, most powerful part of us because this is where God dwells.
Correct.
So we shouldn't be paying attention so much what my body feels like or my emotions feel like. It's like, what does God's word have to say about this?
Come on now.
And look at John 14. I know we're kind of gone all over here. But
you know, we know our Bible. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We know our Bible.
And we're getting to, we're going to bring in the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this just yet. But sometimes you have to lay a foundation for these things.
And so, hear things repeatedly.
Yeah, and see how the Holy Spirit is in the big picture of our life. And so
yes.
John 14:13, this is Jesus speaking. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, now the Holy Spirit's been poured out on all flesh,
yes.
Right? So he's come.
Come on.
He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come.
Hallelujah.
He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Notice it says, whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he'll declare to you the things that are to come.
Nice there.
I mean, people want to understand their future, right? Especially in their own life. This is why so many people are going into psychics.
Yeah.
Calling psychic lines, going to psychic conventions, getting tarot card readings, using crystals, casting spells. People are practicing witchcraft a lot these days. And why? Because they want to know. They want to get a handle on a lot of this is my destiny. And really, when it says here, the Spirit of truth is going to guide you into all truth, we have the one who understands our destiny the most, living right on the inside of us.
You know, we explained last week about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And Jesus said it was a gift from the Father. And if you read it, you're going to see that Jesus will say, I will send him. And then you'll read again and said, the Father will send him. We've got to understand they're one. Yeah. Hear, O Israel, God is one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three personalities, but all in 100% agreement. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what Jesus said. You be filled with power. Acts 1:8, we saw that. Be filled with the power of God. You know, that doesn't mean you're going to go out there and walk on water. It means that you're going to have answers when nobody else does. Mm-hmm. You know?
You have a greater, filled with a greater measure. This is really what the Lord was saying. Be filled. So obviously there's some greater measure that works its way out in your life.
And we saw that it's a subsequent thing.
Yes.
After salvation.
Yeah.
And we see that if you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 39, it is for all. Yeah. All believers. For those who are, he says, who is it for? It's for you, your children, for those who are all afar off, and all whom the Lord will call to himself. Yeah. Well, I qualify for that. And then the day of Pentecost, what was it? A mighty rushing wind comes. It's just, God wasn't being quiet about it, was he? It says they were all baptized with the Holy Ghost. And they were completely immersed. I mean, think about it. Tongues of fire. Ooh, I'm digging this stuff. And it's a greater measure. A greater measure. Look, you know, I think sometimes we watch those movies, like the superhero movies, whatever they are, like, thank you, Marvel, yeah. And then we watch other movies, and then, you know, we say, like, The Matrix and, you know, the power of all this happening. You know what? The greatest power dwells in Christians.
Yes.
And so what we need to do is renew our mind to who he is and how much he really wants to help me. And so I'm going to yield myself to him as much as I can, the way I know that he's asked me to do it. And you know what he said? I liked what she said and wrote. He's going to show you things to come. Mm-hmm. Well, don't you like that idea? You know, do you ever think that you might be able to ask the Holy Spirit on how to invest? Do you think of that?
Sure.
Yeah. I have too.
Yes.
And listen, the Holy Spirit's our helper. He wants to bless you. And the benefit of speaking in tongues is that very thing, is that it says that we will speak out mysteries and secrets.
Yeah.
Don't you like that idea? I'm praying in tongues. I don't know what it is right now, but the Bible declares that I'm going to actually, when that time might come, I have a supply of the Spirit of Christ already there. And we're talking about years to come. It could be a week to come. But look at this scripture. 1 Corinthians 14. Some of these things, you know, it's just hurry to get there to highlight it and go back over it and say, hey, I want this, Lord. I want this. I'm knocking at the door, Lord. I want this. It's going to be a benefit to my life. It's going to help me to be a witness for you. I'm going to be able to say the right words. It's going to affect a person's heart that they were going to be come over into eternity. That's what I'm asking. 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, for the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to who?
To God.
Speaks to God. This is your private devotional language, because there is a gift of the Spirit, which is tongues, and interpretation of tongues is when you talk to the people.
It's a public
demonstration.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's tongues and interpretation of tongues equals prophecy. But this is our private devotional language. Mm-hmm. It says he speaks to God.
Yeah.
For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries.
Yeah.
Mysteries.
Well, what does that mean? He utters mysteries in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Or speaks mysteries. So when we're praying in the Spirit, we're, of course, communing with the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, who's giving us the utterance.
Yes.
It's like spirit to spirit communication. But speaking mysteries doesn't mean that you're going to receive some kind of special truth outside of the Word of God. Like,
right.
Oh, I've got special. That's it's right. Not to mean that. Paul was not referring to some elite
knowledge,
secret information about spiritual things. Really what we're doing, we're praying in the Spirit. And our spirit is in close communion or fellowship with the Lord, with the Spirit of God, who knows the will of God for our life,
yeah,
and for those around us, for life in general. You may be, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're speaking to God,
right,
and you may be praying about future things in your own life.
For sure.
You know, this is why people, you don't need a psychic. You have the Holy Spirit who can begin to pave the way. Even if you don't understand, by faith you realize, I may be praying out something about my life I don't even understand.
Yeah.
But just because our natural mind doesn't understand, it doesn't mean praying in the Spirit carries no worth or value.
Oh, it, come on now. Yeah.
You can't, you really, that's a wrong way to think, because obviously Jesus himself, John the Baptist said, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So if it's Jesus, it's good.
Amen.
It's valuable, right? I mean, you may be praying out insights about your future or just areas of brokenness in your life,
right,
pain,
to make
places
you
where
whole.
Your heart needs healing,
yeah,
that you can't understand, but you're praying out. You may just have this prompting to pray when you do feel down. And
yeah,
you pray in the Spirit and you think, well, I'm praying out. God's going to help me. He's going to pray his perfect will,
yes,
through this.
You might be praying. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Or you could be praying for people across the world. Like if you're thinking about missionaries.
Yes.
Like when these gals are going to go to Cuba. You think about them. You might pray through your natural understanding. And then just feel like, I'm just going to pray in the Spirit also, because I don't know what else to pray. And that's the beauty,
yes,
of this heavenly language.
Well, there's opportunity. We've heard many testimonies about how somebody was praying in the Spirit, not knowing what they're praying. But it actually was because someone was in danger.
Yeah.
And because of that prayer, a supply of the Spirit came and rescued that individual. We might not have any details about it at all. But then there's other times that you might be praying and you have a faint impression of somebody. Well, you know what? Keep going. Keep going. The Holy Spirit's not going to give you details of somebody's deal. He's going to ask you to pray so that he can actually bring a supply of the Spirit of Christ and make that situation work out. You might have an impression about a thought about your future, and you might have an idea about, oh, what's that scripture? And you go to that scripture, or you might just have a picture, a mental picture of someone, like Pastor Mamu was saying. Why is this person in my mind this whole time? Well, you don't know what's going on.
Right.
But you need to pray in the Spirit.
Yeah, and you might sense that this person is discouraged. I mean, sometimes it's like a word of knowledge works at the same time. You just have this impression about a knowing. You don't know all the details, but you know.
Right.
And this is intercessory kind of movement on your heart where you just feel like, I'm going to pray for this. And then, you know, sometimes you do feel like a little bit like, that's good. Like something, God did whatever he needed to do through our prayers.
Kind of a relief off of there. You turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is really powerful.
Yeah, and we're going to close off with this. You know.
It's the Spirit that dwells within us, the Holy Spirit. It says that Spirit searches the deep things of God, and he reveals them to us. This is awesome. This is highlighted in my Bible. And this is when I read this, I say, I want this, Lord.
1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Yeah. Start at verse 10. I want this, Lord. I want more of this. This, when these things start happening in your life, just think like, wow, that was cool. No. Say, Lord, I want more. I want you to teach me about this, Lord. I don't want to be ignorant about this. Teach me, Lord.
Yeah.
Reveal more things to me.
Yeah, this scripture says that the Spirit will reveal.
Yeah.
Searches the hearts of God and will reveal things to us. Look at this. This is a powerful scripture.
It's awesome. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us.
Powerful. Yeah.
It's you're talking about Dr. Google. This is God's search engine right here. Is the Holy Ghost?
Right. That's true. Yeah.
He deals with us in our spirit. He'll move in our heart. We're not saying you're going to hear words. God's going to give you a big. No, we're going to yield ourselves to God. And it might be, you know, of course, if we can look for all the time the mighty rushing wind, well, God might be coming as a gentle breeze.
Yeah, right.
And it's important for us to understand how He deals with our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. So
praying in tongues is a universal benefit.
Yeah.
It really is.
For all believers.
Yes.
It's not a requirement or some proof of your salvation.
That's correct.
But it's a benefit available, potentially available through the work. I say potentially because for whatever reason, I think sometimes it's a mental block that it makes it difficult for people to receive.
Yeah.
And then we can kind of make a doctrine out of it. Well, it's not for everybody then. Well, Scripture makes it, the evidence is it is for everybody. And this is why we should keep seeking and asking. God, remove that. You know, let your Spirit flow through me.
Yes.
Let the release of your Spirit come through me. We talked about last week, it was like a river of living water flowing from the water of life. And it doesn't require any special training.
Right.
It doesn't require any special qualification except that you're saved. You're born of God's Spirit. But it does require faith.
Yes, for
sure. It does take faith on our part to go, well, when I ask you, Lord, to fill me, you're not going to go, I don't know. Like, if you're going to say, oh, yeah, the Spirit's been poured out. We already saw that on the day of Pentecost. It's just like this song. We want to close even singing the song. Like, when the Spirit was moving over the water.
Yeah.
Now, let's think about the power in the creation when God was hovering over the face of the deep. The power of His breath and Spirit. Let that come upon you and then let it flow out of you. But you do have to do the speaking.
Yes.
He's not going to, like, somehow force it. You've got to know that, oh, I'm going to open my mouth and begin to, use my vocal cords and let it flow. I know it might sound scary.
Shouldn't.
But it shouldn't. If you're born of the Spirit, you're a supernatural being. And some people say, well, the Lord wants me to, Spirit wants me to speak in tongues, then He'll just make that happen. But like Pastor Steve said, He's a gentleman.
He says, you do the speaking.
And some people, like you said, are waiting for this overwhelming. And sometimes you do feel overwhelmed. I've been in.
Yep.
I felt overwhelmed whenever I was by myself and it happened. It was just like, oh, gosh, I'm going to get out of my soul. It's like, I'm speaking. But you do have to do the speaking, but often it's like a gentle, He comes upon you.
Yes.
So let's stand up. We're going to sing this song. And I would pray for you for the release of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have a prayer language, when you sing these words, ask the Holy Spirit to give you that language.
Yes.
To bless you. It's simple.
When you make my heart pound, when you fill me.
presence of God, the Holy Spirit, is here. And he... Remember what Jesus said? The final day of the feast, come and drink. You cannot drink with your mouth closed. Make this song a prayer. Yield your hearts to the Holy Spirit. You might be sitting here and saying, I know, Lord, this is what your word says. I haven't experienced this yet. I'm asking you to fill me. And you might just have an urge deep down, just a little syllable of something. Speak it out. You speak it out. I believe, Lord, you want to fill these people in this room right now.
Just ask the Holy Spirit. Just say, fill me, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Come upon me, Holy Spirit. And I know some of you are feeling the Holy Spirit. I am my Spirit.
To God.
You are feeling the Holy Spirit. Release. You know, and I understand this is not a tongue and interpretation, but the people that are filled with the Spirit, I'm asking you to let's just sing in the Spirit a little bit as we...
Hallelujah.
Place, Holy Spirit, move like you did on the day of Pentecost. Come and flood this room with your presence, Lord. And I pray you would fill every hungry, thirsty heart. Let the Spirit of God flow like a river of living water out of their belly. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Come down, Spirit, when you move. You make my heart pound. Fill this room.
Yes.
We know you're here and moving. Come, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. All right. Lord, I want to pray for people. Lay hands on people quickly if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I feel like there's going to be anybody. Nobody wants to be filled with the Spirit. Come on, people. Come on. Don't be afraid. All right. Hallelujah. Yes. I pray, God, you baptize her. Fill her with the Spirit.
the Holy Spirit to come and rest on me. I wanted to be filled so bad. Do you know it didn't happen right away? It didn't happen. Days later. I mean, I wanted to speak in tongues so bad I almost made myself throw up. I'm not kidding you. It was embarrassing. Truly. However, when I was simply just driving down the road after being so tired of trying, I'm driving down the road and I just said, I was whining. I said, Holy Spirit, you know I really want to be filled with you. And right then and there, I was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. And you know, it was just one syllable at that time. And I keep, then all of a sudden I went through the alphabet in my mind. So I started speaking tongues and it just opened up to me. So listen, a lot of times when you come up here to speak in tongues, you got a lot of people watching. And you might be thinking, oh man, what happens if I, you know. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you right before you fall asleep tonight. Don't quit. You got to have an attitude like a dog on a bone that you're never going to let go of it. You're going to just, if there's another person going to get filled with the Holy Ghost on this planet, it's going to be me. That's what I told God. That's how much you got to want it. And my life completely changed. Now, if you're here today, you have not asked Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what's holding you back? The only thing holding you back is the one who wants to destroy your life. Jesus came, sacrificed his life for your sins and my sins. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. If you want your sins forgiven today, you want to take Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just simply raise your hand so I can see it, and then we'll pray. Everybody here will pray a prayer. And that miraculous thing, the greatest miracle that ever could happen, is that you're born again, born of His Spirit.